Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our Bliss of Marriage. You can send in your questions through to the number 084-786-3132. So 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, plus 27-84-786-3132. So the code is plus 27-84-786-3132. Remember to send in your questions during this period, 11 to 12, and inshallah, Mufti Saab will answer the questions. Whatever pertaining to marriage, whatever is on your mind, you can put send in your questions now. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Damat Barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Azaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question we have here is, how do we go about choosing the correct spouse?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, today is the 3rd of Ramadan Mubarak 1445, and we know with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, all our answers we will find either in the Quran Sharif or Sunnah Mubarakah, or the fatawa verdicts of Sahaba, or the awliyaullah, or the a'imma arba'ah. So let's take each one. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah 49, Surah Hujurat, verse number 13. Ya ayyuhan nas, O humankind, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa unsa. Indeed, we created you from one male and one female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ, and we made you into nations and tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so you recognize one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ, verily the most noble of you, the most honorable of you, by Almighty Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, is the one who has the greatest taqwa, piety. So it shows piety should be the hallmark, the distinction. Then you get married to that person. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mishkat, in Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Tunkahul mur'a, that you marry a woman for four reasons. Limaliha, for her wealth. Walijamaliha, for her beauty, how attractive, gorgeous she is. وَلِحَسَبِهَا, for its rank of society she belongs to. She belongs to the higher rank of society, higher strata of society. وَلِدِينِهَا, and for her deen, her piety, her Islam, and so forth. فَصْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, so you will be successful if you give deen preference. We are not suggesting for a moment you must not look at the mal and jamal, the wealth and the beauty. You look at that, but that should not be priority number one. Priority number one must be the aqidah, the belief structure. Can't be a Shia and Qadiani and Aga Khani and all these characters. They are non-Muslims. Second one is, you know, I just to digress 1 minute. Today is what? 14th March, isn't it? So next week, 21st March, is Nowroz. Nowroz means New Year. So imagine these Persians, they say they are Muslim, but they still hold on to their kuffar customs and traditions. So they'll say that Muharram is not the New Year. They will say the Nowroz is the New Year. So that's what they believe in. And then yesterday, while they were preparing for all this, so remember that 3,000 people injured, 12, 15, 20 people died, and so forth. So how are these people going to be Muslims? So number one is you must have correct belief. Number two, that person must be particular, meticulous of salat. Third one, the ages should be also very, like, you understand, similar. Yesterday I just told somebody, you are 23 years old, and the lady, the girl is 20 years old. Just propose and get finished and done. And Shawwal, you must get married, inshallah, you see. So we know the party, so in that way there, we just make quick and sort it out like that. So all these are the burning issues. Then you must remember that people worry about, so I gave you Quran, I gave you, you must remember Sunnah. Now Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, people say, now where will I get so much money and so forth? So remember, he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, faqihu hadhil ummah, iltamisul ghina fin nikah. So you must get married, and this nikah will bring ghina, will bring the richness and barakah, and that was it. So imagine, see the first barakah, that you were sleeping on a single bed. You brought the wife, now you got double bed. You see that? So you must remember, so inshallah, you bring a taqiyah, a good pious lady, she will bring her barakah with also. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. I mean that we also living in this world, you know. When I tell our Darum students there in Newcastle, you know, they have reunion or they have... I said, go ask the old trustees and that. Mawla Mansurul Haq, that Allah give him shifa, you know. He started at Darul Uloom in 1976. His wages was 150 rand, starting. I started in 81, there at Darul Uloom, January. My wages was 300 then. You know what I'm saying? The students say, can't be. I said, go ask. I got Quran in my hand. And now we were happy. I was elated, delighted. The aim was just to get in. You don't understand? So that is what you must. And then Allah gives so much barakah, which to save 50 rand from that 300 rand. And you live a simple life. Not now, you must remember everything you see, you just want to buy and doesn't. And from that day onwards, we made it a usul, a principle. We won't buy anything unless we can afford it and pay cash. We don't want to get involved in the debt trap. You must remember that. That is how people get involved in all these haram things, interest and so forth. So that is the main criteria, remember. We gave you Quran, we gave you Sunnah, we gave you Sahaba, A'imma Arba, all of them agree on this. That the first criteria must be the belief structure, and then the piety of the person, the character. And the hadith in Tirmidhi, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. When someone proposes for your daughter, sister, niece, and is a good Muslim, وَخُلُقَهُ, good character, فَسَوِّجُوهُ, so get them married. فَإِلْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ, if you don't, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ أَرِيثٌ. There will be big mayhem, chaos on this earth. The hadith in Tirmidhi. We see today boy and girl run away. Why? Because the father didn't give permission. Same as complete the studies and all this kind of thing. All haram business.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I am old, I can't read the Quran properly, I do regret, but what can I do? I fear my end.
So you must remember that you know the few surahs by heart, keep on reading that, and inshallah, if you can get somebody just to teach you another one, two surahs also, that's good. Allah yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah has not burdened any person more than his ability, capability, capacity. Surah 2, verse 286. Now you 70, 75, 80, 85. We must fear our end, remember that. So that's a good sign. And at least you're showing some afsos, some remorse, some regret. That's a good sign. But just try and learn one, two verses per day, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala will then use that as excuse to say, never mind, forgive him, at least he was trying. You see that? So laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. For human being is nothing except what he strives for and make effort for, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I cannot remember how many qada salah I have. Please give me a solution to figure it out.
Very easy. From the time you became baligh, in 2000, you became baligh in 1995, you became baligh in 74, so 50 years ago. So in that way there, that you work out how many Fajr Salat you must, how many Zohar, how many Maghrib, like that. You use your discretion, and you don't work on the minimum amount, you work on the maximum amount. And then you start qada, not from tomorrow, from today immediately. So today you go for Zohar, after Zohar you read qada. You go for Asr, you read qada, after Asr, permissible. After Maghrib you read, after Isha you read, after Fajr you read. So for qada you got day and night. You must remember, the only time you can't be performing qada is when the sun is rising, wait for 15 minutes. At the time of istiwa, when the sun is there at the zenith, what people call zawal, so that time you can't read. When the sun is setting 15-20 minutes before that, you can't read. Beside that, all times you can read. So there's no excuse. So you, where there's a will, there's a way. So you must make that willpower and say no. I give you two incidents in my family. So my uncle, I think I told you the other day, that he asked me one day, and he made qada exactly, I don't remember, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Thursday night while making dua, he passed away, remember that. And while making dua on the night of Jumu'ah, like tonight, like that. And my other one, you must remember, he was inside the masjid reading witr. He told me himself he made qada of 30, 35 years, you see. So while reading witr, he fell down, he collapsed, and he passed away, see. So they love the masjid. وَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. The most beloved place to them for the masjid. Not the market and the malls and the bazaars and that. That Nabi alayhi salam said, أَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most hated, detested place is the market, the mall, the bazaar. Why? The amount of lies, the amount of deception, the amount of crookery and all that goes on there. So therefore, it's just like. But we all have to go there sooner or later to buy this, buy that and so forth. So not everybody got 5 khadims and 10 workers and all that. So this, we have to go like that. Like now, this morning, I had to go to the barber. You see, I'm cheese. You know cheese, Mona?
Cheese.
So this is cheese, you see? Cheese. You won't find one hair on there. When I was reading namaz, now my toupee also fell down. You understood? Because no hair here, you see. So this time, so I better change my toupees all the time. So the thing is this, that what happens, so necessities is different. But just to go there, fun, game, entertainment, go check the girls out, go check the boys out, and dating, and obviously haram all this. And any person says the masjid is the super spreader of the virus, just on that statement alone, leave everything else, that person there is murtad out of the fold of Islam. Whether it's a Maulvi or Mufti or Qari or whatever. So we must be very, very careful what we are saying. And once we show disrespect and we dishonor our sha'air, our symbols, remember Quran says, Surah 22, verse 22, that وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. You must show respect to the reverence and symbols of Almighty Allah, to the landmarks of Almighty Allah. So that is a sign that that person got taqwa and piety in the heart. And if you don't do that, so you must remember you're asking for big problem. Surah 22 and verse 32. Surah 22, verse 32. So that is what you will find in the Noble Quran.
Mufti Sahib, a person from Mauritius is saying, I just want to know about the nikah, when the boy needs to drink sugar water which the girl's family bring at the nikah.
All this is just an Indian custom. Our forefathers, when they came from India, some of them settled there, you must remember, in where? So you must remember, they say Karachi. So then the ship was coming down. You see, from Bombay they came to Karachi. Then they came there, you must remember, that, you know, the Skindia and so forth. So there, then some people, they settled there. Then they came lower down. Then they settled there in Delgoa Bay. Delgoa Bay is your Maputo, Lorenzo Marx. Some went, they settled there in Mauritius. Some came, they settled there in Durban and came down Transvaal, Johannesburg, Gauteng, all that. So when they came, they brought some lal kitabs with them. So red books, filled with all, you understand, fairy tales. So if you go today, you must remember to Dabelpur, and Saharanpur, and Palanpur, and Mirzapur, and Chakmalpur, and all these poor. You see, you got a lot of puri there, you see. So you must remember, they got all these kind of books. So what is the story about sugar water and all that? This is all kali kali. Ek rasam riwaj hai, dekho be bunyad be asal hai. It has no significance at all in Islam. It's just one custom tradition which people brought. And remember, I got married, Mozaid got married. You had sugar water, Maulana?
No.
Yeah, we never had no sugar water. So you must remember, so this is a Mauritian custom maybe, an Indian custom they brought from that part of India. We must leave all these customs. It's Jahiliya, Quran calls it. Of a hukm al jahiliyati yabghun. What are they looking and searching for? The laws of Jahiliya, of ignorance. So Surah 5, verse 50, Almighty Allah has mentioned this. So just leave all these things out.
A person's also asking here about a boy who must dip his beard in water for the wife to drink. Is there any reference?
There's nothing like that. You must remember that every time they dip and all this kind of thing, it'll be lucky dip and lucky lips and all this kind of things. Yeah. So Islam don't teach all this kind of thing. Some person, waliullah, or some person came and he told them, you must do this, then muhabbat mein izafa ho jayega, and all this kind of things, that now the love will increase and all. So these are just one opinion. It got nothing to do with Islam. Remember that. You must then, they'll tell you, one Molvi I know, so he died, I think, you must remember, that he performed the nikah, and the nikah also he made golmol and all mixed up. Anyway, cut long story short, he got nothing to do with this lady. He goes to the stage. Imagine he goes to the stage where that lady and her husband are. He puts his hand, one hand on the groom, one hand on the bride. That lady got no scarf, no nothing. And this, obviously, I wasn't there, but the people came and told me that. I said, yeah, they do all upside down things. And then he put there, and he said, no, I'm giving you a Quran as a gift. That lady might be in menses, 90%, then they don't have wudu and all that. The men also. And he said, no. And he's putting his hand on her head. So all this kind of thing. And our people say, both barakat, you understand? This is jahalat, is ignorance, you must remember that. So totally not acceptable in Islam, all these things.
Mufti Sahib, at my workplace, we have a multi-faith room. There is no symbols of any other religions there. Can I pray my salah there?
Yes, as long as there are no symbols, there's no idol, there's no cross, there's no crucifix, there's no statue of Jesus or Mary, and oh, no idols there, no your lingam there, lingam the male organ, oh, you must remember that your Ganeshi, the elephant, you know, then they make that symbols. So like that, then it's fine, it's no problem, it's permissible. Ju'ilat liyal ardu masjidan wa tahura. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasila baraka, the whole land. And the whole sand, we can make the salat there, and we can make the yammum also. So as long as there are no symbols and the place is park and clean, so then you can read, no problem.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I am a revert, I'm 50 years old. Should I be thinking of getting married, settling down?
100%, if you are a male, then Islam says, the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Al-A'zabu Shaitan, that when a person is a confirmed bachelor, he don't want to get married. Unless you are sickly, you got some valid reason or something, then it's different. But the normal person, you must get married and should get married. That is hadith. I just told you just now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what he said. Iltamisul ghina fin nikah. If you want that fatwa of his, it's in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. And what he said? He said, hypothetically, if his wife dies, in 10 days' time, he'll get married again. Why? This is in Khairul Qurun, the golden era of Islam, with the fear of some fitna and so forth and so on. If you want reference of this, open a Fiqh Sunnah by Sayyid Sabiq, you will find it there. So we must be very clear on this issue here. Similarly, for a lady, I just gave you the hadith now. So you must remember that when somebody comes propose for your daughter, sister, and good belief structure, good character, all that, get them married. See, I teach you some great law, Babun Azim, min Babil Islam. Every avenue to nikah, Islam made easy. Every avenue and road that leads to zina, fornication, adultery, gay brigade, all that Islam made difficult. Why? Islam promotes a pure and a chaste society. Which is the best nikah? Inna a'adaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. We brought about all this there. 1 million, 5 million, 3 million. Every night for one whole week, we got something going on. One night is a khatam. One night is mendi night. One night is the night of the kunjas. You know kunjas, Mona?
Gee, the gifts.
Yeah, the gifts. They call kunja night, you see. So the boys' party will bring their gifts, the girl party, and they all will be showing off. Then the next night is Razi Rahe Rahman Bi, Khush Rahe Shaitan Bi. Same as liven things up a little bit. So we're going to have a little bit belly dancing, you see. Shake the back sides a little bit and the posteriors and all this kind of thing. All haram, all this. So how much the nikah will be? 1 million, 2 million and all that. Because you have to feed the people, you have to get the video guys, you have to get this one. So from A to Z. Otherwise, Nabi alayhi salam said, "Inna a'adaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una." The best nikah is the one where the least expenditure is incurred, you see. Which is the best mahar? You understand? Khairu sadaq aysaruhu. The best mahar is the minimum one. You understand? You don't have to go pay hundreds of thousands and so forth and so on. So whatever you can afford, you just pay. You tell the lady, this is what I can afford. She is happy, you happy, you reach an amicable agreement. You speak to her father and then he speaks to his daughter like that. So mashallah. So that is the big usul you must understand of Islam. Islam said, male, female, who are strangers, you cannot be alone. La yakhluwanna rajulun bimraatin illa wa thalithuhuma shaitan. So why? Because Satan will be there. Islam said, no physical contact with a female. Oh, I can't go shake hand with another strange lady. Why? Zalikum atharu liqulubikum wa qulubihin. So that will be purer for your heart and for her heart. I can't make eye contact with her and look at whether she got her natural eyes or her contact lenses. Today you have to see that also, you know. That because they deceive you, they just wear green eyes, blue eyes. When you get married to them, you say, hey, this is a brown one, you see. So I say, no, I was wearing contact lenses. All haram, all this kind of thing. Man ghashana falaysa minna. So see how many things I'm giving you. So you must remember that. So in Islam, everything must be done simple, simple. So yes, you must get married. And they start today. After Zuhur, you read 2 rakat salat. And you say, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. Surah chapter 25, verse 74, the 19th Supara, where the first quarter ends. Now just to extend and expand on this, take the greatest people, who? The Anbiya alayhi salam. So they were the greatest, and from them the greatest of the greatest of the greatest is Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them got married. Only one did not marry, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. وَحَسُورَوْ وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So if you don't get married for whatever reason, so they say you're practicing on sunnate Yahyawiya, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. Nabi Isa alayhi salam still is not married. When the second coming takes place, he'll get married, he'll have 2 sons, and all that will happen, and then he will pass away naturally in Madinah Munawwara. He'll be buried there next to Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So see, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمَ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. So we made all the prophets get married, except Yahya alayhi salam. And they had spouses, wives, and children, and progeny. So that's why we say we must lead a... Now look at what the Western world do. You just live in as lovers. So you must remember that you don't know who the father of the child. You don't even know the family, nothing. If the child grows up, he asks the woman, the mother, okay, where's my father? She'll take him to graveyard, show him any grave, say, there's your father. You see? So like that it is. So this whole Western decadent satanic system is there to erode and to dismantle the whole family structure. That is your new world order. That is your Bela Bal. So you must remember this. So we need to wake up and understand what really is happening.
A person is asking, did Jibreel alayhi salam see Allah azza wa jal, or was it that there was 70,000 veils between Allah and Jibreel alayhi salam?
You're confusing issues, brother. That's not a debate. Remember, Jibreel alayhi salam did not see Almighty Allah. So the question is, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see? So that's what you're speaking about, the 70,000 veils and all that. So some sahaba say, yes. And if you open chapter 53, Surah An-Najmi, and verses 1 to 18. So if you want the nocturnal, miraculous journey of the Master, alayhi salatu salam, from Makkah Mukarramah to Aqsa al-Mubarak, that's mentioned in chapter 17, verse 1. The beginning of the 15 Jews, 15 Supara. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi. If you want from there, after leading the Anbiya, prophets and that in Salat, then a Mi'raj, the ascension took place in the state of awakeness, physically, bodily. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam went high above, you must remember. So then did he, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see Allah Ta'ala? So some Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas and him say, yes. And some Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mother Aisha radiallahu anha and him say, no. So the question arises where? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. So there, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ, and indeed he saw him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. So the him, the pronoun, the zamir, refers to Allah Ta'ala. So that is what some sahaba are saying. Others like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mother Aisha say, no, he didn't see. And when we ask, then what is the meaning of وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ? He, Nabi alayhi salam, saw Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. You understood now? So you confused it a bit. And then you must remember this, that this kind of discussion, just leave it to the ulama and academic and so forth, because it's not something that you will say, this one is right, this one is wrong. We can combine it. We can say, so Allah Ta'ala and so Jibreel alayhi salam. So easy way also. So anyway, you must remember that is the debate. So when they asked Mother Aisha radiallahu anha and them, how are you say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see? She says, La tudrikul absar, wa huwa yudrikul absar, wa huwa latiful khabir. That the eyes can never ever see Allah Ta'ala, and He can see everything. But that is in this world, that is what was there right in Jannat and right in the year after. So therefore that answer also not a very strong answer and objection and so forth. So that is the debate. If you study the books on Isra and Mi'raj, then you will find that discussion. That did Nabi halla an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rabbahu ay fi waqiatil Mi'raj. So that is the discussion.
Mufti Sahib, a question here, I'm not sure when is the time the person is referring to, but the question is, one more question, can we drink vitamins for energy in Ramadan? Is it permissible?
If you are asking, can you take the vitamin injection? So that is permissible. If you mean you want to drink something, so you must remember, eat something, then obviously that will nullify the fast and the fast will be broken. So that's out of the question. So you must remember that anything that goes into your mouth and is considered food, is considered tadawi, medication and so forth, through the mouth, through the nose, all that, or back passage. So remember that that will break the fast and nullify the soam and the fast. And for the woman, the front passage also. So you go for an internal and so forth by your gynecologist, so remember that your fast is broken. Therefore, if it's not an emergency, then leave it, postpone it for after Ramadan. Or if you feel it must be done now, then make some arrangements with a gynae that you will come night time and so forth. You get some gynaes, they look out after their patients and whatever night time. So you can make some arrangements like that.
We've just passed the halfway mark of our program. Inshallah, we'll meet you after this break.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Respected listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, you can send in your questions. The number 084-786-3132, foreign country, +27 84 786 3132. Mufti Saab, the next question we have here is, please explain the fatwa when traveling. Can a person follow the Shafi way where you can join two salahs?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Inna salat kanat alal mu'minina kitabam mawquta. Every salat has got its own designated times. When a person is a musafir, then you combine salat, zuhur and asr in zuhur time, jamat taqdeem. Or you are going, then you read zuhur asr in asr time, jamat akhir. Or maghrib and isha in maghrib time, jamat taqdeem. Or you combine it in isha time, jamat akhir. So, use not like how you think it is. You must remember the Shafi's got conditions. If the person undertakes a haram journey, you're going to meet girlfriend, boyfriend, casino, or you're going there to just date or whatever, or soccer match, cricket match, so then you can't even make qasr, you can't shorten the prayer according to Shafi's, Ambalis and them, and you can't even make jama also. That is usul. Understand that. النِّعْمَةُ لَا تَنَالُ بِالْمَحْزُورِ. The question arises, can Hanafis now change to Shafi'i and so forth? You can change if it's matter of life and death and so forth, or you know, a darura, a shadida and so forth. So where there's extreme, extreme need. But you want to change just for ittiba'i hawa, just for your own whims and fancies, and that's not permissible. So I show you a way that will solve your problem. See that now my watch is showing, you understand, that 12:17, 12:18 or so, just say 12:20, Zuhur time will enter. Okay? So now, let's just say, I must still check it out, but let's just say, I'm giving example. Let's say that 3:30, you understand, that Zuhur time expires and Asr time starts. I'm just giving an example, right? So 12:20, Zuhur time started, and 3:30, Zuhur time expires, and then Asr time starts. So you're a musafir, and now you can't be stopping. It's difficult. So you are now waiting, so you must delay your Zuhur Salat. Till when? Till 3:15, 3:20, you go make your hudu, freshen up, all that. You read your Zuhur Salat, 3:20, 3:25. And as soon as Asr Salat comes in, after 3:30, so you read your Asr Salat. So what you did, you read Zuhur in Zuhur time. You read Asr in Asr time. You read Zuhur in the last time, and you read Asr in the beginning time. Thus you call that Jama Suri, Jama Fa'ali, Jama Amali, like that. So that is what the Hanafis would allow. But to take one Salat time out and read it in another one, like Jama Hakiki, what the Shafi'is, Hanbalis, Malikis and them are saying, so that is not permissible according to Hanafis. No Hanafi alim from those days has said is permissible. Imam Abu Hanifa didn't say so. Imam Abu Yusuf didn't say so. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani didn't say so. Imam Zufar didn't say so. Imam Hassan bin Ziyad didn't say so. You get some crooked Maulvis today, that they want to just follow their own whims and fancies. They'll tell you, no, Hanafi said it's jais. You don't understand? So that is why? Because they're traveling by plane. So we also travel by plane, you know. So remember, 1,000 times we read Salat in the plane with Allah's mercy, and we face Qibla, we stood and read and so forth. Sometimes I made Jamaat also. So you must remember, there's not an excuse, these things here. Where there's a will, there's a way. So always we must do that.
Mufti Sahib, a question. If a pregnant woman vomits unintentionally while fasting more than a mouthful, is a fast still valid?
Remember that whether it's a lady or whether it's a man or anybody, remember this hadith. This hadith will clarify everything. And it's Sahih hadith. Bulughul Maram, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, and Mishkat Sharif, everywhere you will find it. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man zara'ahu al-qay'u, when the vomit overpowers you, fala qada alayh. So that lady there is pregnant, so now she's got this morning sickness and this, she vomits, it's fine. Your fast is 100% valid, whether it's mouthful, whether it's quarter full, whether it's whatever, it doesn't matter all that. Your fast is 100% valid, remember that. وَمَنِ اسْتَقَاءَ, and you go deliberately and you vomit, and you put your finger inside, you put your teaspoon there in the mouth, and deliberately, intentionally, dida danishta. That's the word in Urdu, very good Urdu that is. How you do it? Dida danishta. Amdan qasdan in Arabic. So you go and do that deliberately, intentionally, and then you vomited, وَمَنْ اِسْتَقَاءَ فَأَلَيْهِ الْقَضَىٰ. Then there's qada. So that is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. It's only the Hanafis, they brought another dimension, but that is not really mentioned in the hadith. So you must remember that they said it must be deliberate, intentional, and mouthful. You see that? So that mouthful story is only Hanafi story, and that is when it is done intentionally, self-induced, what you call. So if the vomit is self-induced, that you inserted your finger, teaspoon in your mouth, and you vomited intentionally, all that, and so we must add mouthful mil ulfam, so then it will break according to Hanafis. But majority say, irrespective of the amount and the quantity, remember that the fast will be broken and qada will be compulsory. So you must be very careful, sisters. Don't listen to jahil people. They just talk nonsense 90% of the time. I know so many people made other people break the fast. Why? So they say, no, you vomited, finish. But your vomiting is unintentional. When it's unintentional, like a pregnant lady, wallahi, the fast does not break. The fast is 100% valid, even if she vomits 10 mouthfuls, you must remember that. She vomited now and vomited after that and vomited after that. So it doesn't matter. The fast is still valid.
Mufti Sahib, a person is asking, who is Masruq? I saw the name in the hadith.
Masruq was a tabi'i. When he was very young, they stole him. He never came to South Africa. You know, in South Africa, how they steal people. So they steal the babies, they steal this one, they steal that one. So his name became Masruq. When he was a baby, he was stolen, you see. But then they found his way back and all that, so this type. You know, something funny happens, you see. So I give you an example. So I can't take name, obviously. But when we were in school in Heidelberg, you see. So one day, one couple there, you see. I shouldn't have said Heidelberg, but anyway. So one couple there, you must remember, she gave birth to a healthy baby, you know, nice and fat, you know, understood. So you must remember that. So we were in school. Now, Maulana, you won't remember all these things here. So there was like a book. And that book, you know, we all used to read like in school, you understand? It's called Little Lota. You know about Little Lota? Yeah, no. You won't know all these things. You all came afterwards and all. So in the 60s and all that. So because she was mashallah baby and all that, so her name became Little Lota. It's not permissible to use these kind of names. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Yeah. But you know, we were naughty also in school and all. So you keep her name Little Lota. So that name was stuck with her. You see, Little Lota and this type of things. Yeah. They're nice and fat and so. If you take in the hadith and you see A'raj, that person there, you must remember he was crippled. Or you take A'ma and so forth. So if you use these type of titles, Allah sabilil imtiyaz, therefore, to distinguish, it refers to that Abdullah, it refers to that Yusuf, it refers to that Ahmad, like that. So then it's permissible. But if it's used, ala sabilil dhamm, you use it to make a mockery of that person and so forth, that is not permissible. So therefore in the hadith you will find plenty like that. You must remember that this person is there, so Khalidin al-Hazzah. In the hadith you find Khalid al-Hazzah. So if you ask the people what Khalid al-Hazzah means, Mozaid, you know. So Khalid al-Hazzah means the shoemaker. You understand? But he never fixed up one shoe in his life. You understood? So why you must remember it? He used to mingle and associate with the shoemakers, so then they called him Khalid al-Hazzah. You see, like that it was. So many a time, like some people, their best friends are the Maulvis. After 2, 3, 5 years, you say, maybe Maulvi. Understood? You're not a Maulvi, Mufatiya you are. What Maulvi you are? So you must remember these kind of things here. So that is Masruk's story. That they stole him while he was very young, but they found him again. Everything got back, you understand? So it's all right.
Mufti Sahib, the person is asking, why did Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha call him Aba Aisha?
So call who Aba Aisha?
Masruk.
Yeah, so you must remember that because that, see, I give you an example. So she, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she had, you must remember, no, you understood, children, right? We all agree on that. But she came and complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that now I don't have children. I got name, but I don't have kunya. Kunya we call agnomen, whatever you know. So all the honorable wives got. So how come I? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, you got kunya. So what is my kunya? Umme Abdullah. You see? Umme. So who's Abdullah? So Abdullah bin Zubair. So you must remember. Her sister is Asma. Asma is married to Zubair. Zubair's son and Asma's son is Abdullah. So Abdullah is the nephew and she is the Masi. She is the Khala. So similarly, yeah, Masruk Aba Aisha. So you must remember that. So now he got child. He don't have child. There's that to make him happy. So, see, I give you easy example. Hazrat Mawana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. So he got no children. But today the world knows him. Very few people know his name. His name was Ali, Alimia. You understand? Everybody calls him Abul Hasan Nadwi. You understood? So, but he had no children. So, but the people gave him the name Abul Hasan. You see? So same thing here, Aba Aisha and all that. It's well known, you must remember, in that. Therefore, Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, used to say that ilmu rijal, nisfu ilmi al-hadith, that to know the men and the women in the report. This is a neglected science in our Darulum, in our Jamiat, everywhere today, 90%. Illa mashallah, 5-10% some people, but generally it's just neglected. So you must remember that, so we have this in our system, so that where a person has no children or so forth, then you just give him a kunya, so like that. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala nughair. So there also. He's a small boy, what you talking about? He's not even baligh. His bird died. So Nabi alayhi salam wants to cheer him up. So he calls him, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala nughair. Nughair is a bird. But the bird died. So he was very sad. So the bird died, you see. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya Aba Umair. Like that it is, same thing.
Mufti Sahib, a person is asking, what happens to the husbands who are missing in Palestine? Do they declare them as deceased?
In Islam, we have a law. One is a person died, heart attack, does that, all that. You know, they give you death certificate. The other day, I was looking for something, you understand? So I see, I found my mother's death certificate. You understood? She passed away in 97. So Allah grant them all jannatul firdaus al-a'la. So they written the cardiac arrest. You understand? So my father passed away, mother passed away, brother passed away. I was there, so we know a little bit what's happening. Like. So like that, cardiac arrest in our term means that heart attack, you see. So anyway, the point I'm making is this, so that you call al-mautu haqiqat, that it is death, finished. The person passed away, the ruh and the body separated. One is al-mautu hukman, assumption of death, you understood? So assuming the person passed away. So now 1 year passed, 2 year passed, like that. So you will then say in Islam, Imam Abu Hanifa and them, they had long, big amounts. So today the fatwa is 1 year. So if that person is unknown and so forth, nothing we know, then you go to the Qazi, the judge and all that, and say for 1 year we're trying to find out, he'll investigate, and then he will assume and pass the verdict, fulan fulan means so and so person, we say al-mautu hukman, is considered dead. A person drowns, 1 year you can't find his body. Simple example. So, but if a person is in prison, in jail for 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, all that, then you don't say he's dead. He's there in the jail. How you can say he's dead? So this is, nobody knows nothing about that person. The whereabouts are unknown. Then you call that assumption of death. You call that al-mautu hukman, remember, for miras purposes also, for inheritance and so forth. What happens in a case like that, Mawlana Zahid? You, the Qazi, I am the Qazi, the big judge, you see. Both of us consulted and we said, Suleiman passed away. Understand? That, not the Suleiman of ours, not the Suleiman. So that Suleiman passed away. You understood? After 1 year. So like that. So we said, assumption of death. After 1.5 years, Suleiman pitches up. Now his wife, her iddat is finished now. 1 year passed. And then after 6 months, so 430 days is finished. So she got married to another guy. So she, Suleiman's wife, got married to Luqman. Understood? Yeah, 1.5 years, 2 years later, Suleiman pitches up. Understood? But his wife is married to Luqman. So what will happen in a case like that? So you must remember, you call it istishabul hal. Status quo will remain. She must go back to Suleiman, and that nikah with Luqman is all finished up, but nobody will be held guilty or anything else. So you must remember, you call it istishabul hal. So all these things, the fuqaha, the jurors, they were genius. They worked it out already. So she must go back, kullu shay'in yarju il asli, to her first husband.
Mufti Sahib, do the Mujahideen have to fast in Palestine?
So remember, if they can manage fasting, they must fast. If they can't manage, then they mustn't fast. In Battle of Badr, Sahaba shouldn't fast. So you must remember, Fatih Makkah, those who wanted to fast, they fast. Those who don't want to. So you can't pass a general rule, they must fast. It's upon the individual. What you call this in fiqh terms, Ra'yul Mubtala Bihi. The person who's involved, he must see his condition, that will he manage, won't he manage. See, our women who are hamila, who are pregnant, you can't pass a general rule, then say every pregnant lady must fast. You can't pass a rule, every pregnant lady must not fast. Is ra'yul mubtala bihi. So remember, one lady wants to fast, other one they can't fast because they find it very difficult, and so forth and so on. So every person must judge their own situation, and that is how they should sort it out.
Mufti Sahib, my wife wants me to take my leave out of Ramadan. I want to take it in Ramadan so I can sit for i'tikaf.
So you must remember that the husband wants to sit for i'tikaf.
Gee.
So if the husband wants to sit for itikaf, so now the wife says that no, you must take it out of Ramadan. Why? Then you can take her with, she can go someplace, the children can go someplace. So if you are now married and you got wife, you got children, you got all this, so is it fair that you only think of yourself, that you go sit there by your sheikh and this and all that? You know, today the sheikh business also is going to be a little bit hulu also. That they've gone to another extreme also. So people don't pay their debts, but they're sitting in i'tikaf. How you justify that? People, you must remember, don't make proper arrangements for their wife and children, but they're sitting for i'tikaf. This is not permissible, all that. So there are conditions attached. You must, the first thing you must ask these people who are sitting for i'tikaf in another masjid, another town, the place from where you came, you must remember that, are people sitting for i'tikaf? Leave all that. I'm giving you all this example because we go every day there. Maybe about 8, 10 years ago, 5 years, I can't remember. You see the Sufi masjid of ours. Nobody sat for i'tikaf. Nobody. But you go across the street, you will find 200 people there. Now, how? Best part, some guys who belong to Sufi masjid are sitting there also. Now, how you justify? Now, that is jahalat. You see that? That is ignorance. You must remember this kind of things. Yeah. So, therefore, the sheikh, he must tell that person, you came from ABC, place XYZ place. Is somebody sitting there in that place or not? If the sheikh understands the sharia properly, and there's nobody sitting, he must say, you pack up and go back there and go sit there. Yeah, you'll just come here for party and pick the food and this and this. Go sit there in your masjid. That is what sharia will say. You see? So like that. So you, my brother, my advice to you is this, that you mustn't take your leave now. Because what your wife is saying is right. Because you're thinking only of yourself. You're not thinking of your wife and your children. So rather take your leave that is out of Ramadan, so you can take your wife somewhere, take your children somewhere. They also want a break. They also want, you know, for them it's difficult the whole year to stay in the house and thus and all that. So they also need a little bit break and what have you. So that is my advice to you.
This is just the last question. Should we pay Sadaqatul Fitr now?
Yes, you can pay. There's no problem with that. The amount is 40 rand per person. You can pay. Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam zakat al-fitri, sadaqat al-fitri, tuhratan lis-sa'imi min al-laghwi wal-rafath, wa tu'matan lil-masakin. Why you pay sadaqat al-fitr? The wrong we saw, the wrong we heard, the lies we spoke. So that will be a means of purification. And it will help our Muslim brethren who are poor. So you must remember that. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. You can pay now, no problem. Okay, and better to pay in the second half, so that time that you give the poor people now, they finish everything up. So for Eid, they will have nothing, you understood? So rather, for Eid also they can prepare. Allah Ta'ala make easy. Tonight is night of Jumu'ah. Read abundant Durood Sharif and Salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum.
From us and the team, we say Jazakumullah khairan to you, to all our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.